Each week we also have a short video presentation to tell you about Building to Serve. And this will also be an introduction to our scripture and the message today.
We entered the 21st century in First United Methodist of Cary on the corner of Academy and Wall over in New Bend since 1871. And we entered the 21st century with pretty much the same physical campus that we have right now. But it occurs to me that when the year 1899 became the year 1900 and we entered the 20th century, our physical campus was different. Over our history, over these last 146 years, each generation in our church has served the age God has called them to serve, the age God has placed them in. And they've responded over time by growing and expanding the facility to grow and expand the ministry for their time and their place. As we've come to 2017 now, and we're moving deeper into the 21st century, we have significant questions about our ability to serve this present age. What does it mean to serve Cary? What does it mean to serve the world now, in this time and this place? And what are the resources that we need for that service? We're going to consider those questions this Sunday as we gather for worship in our Building to Serve series. But what it means to be building to serve the present age. And we will remember that Paul encouraged the Philippians to remember that the one who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. We believe that God will be faithful to complete that work in us in our time, as we, in the words of Charles Wesley, serve the present age, our calling to fulfill.
This morning, the first one is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and Polly will read that one.
I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
And I'd like to read for you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What were some of the headlines in the newspaper back in the 18th century England when John Wesley was preaching? Well, I did a little research and I came up with some of the headlines, or at least some of the issues that they were facing in their day and time. Jobless rate goes up for the sixth straight year. Riots over job losses. Military veterans come home to no benefits. Tax structure corrupt. Healthcare system failing, middle class shrinking. What was going on in 18th century England was the Industrial Revolution. Families moved from rural areas into the cities to work in factories. And those factories, while they made things quicker, also displaced people from their jobs. And it was a time of social upheaval in England. It was a time in when people were exploited. Men, women, and children were exploited in the factories, working as much as 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. There were no child labor laws in that day and time. Little children didn't go to school so often. They went to work if they were poor. Well, the gap between the rich and the poor widened. The poor had no access to education or schools. The prisons were deplorable. Slavery was in practice, and alcoholism was rampant. Well, those are just some of the things that were going on in society when John Wesley was in England. Now, the state of the church wasn't really a whole lot better. The state of the church was that it was in decline. The state of the church was that it had no outreach to the poor. It involved very little of the laity and leadership. It was state-controlled and so many times managed. There were certain restrictions on where a pastor could preach. He could only preach within his parish. It was a time in which John Wesley recognized that he was called to serve. Now, his brother Charles Wesley wrote something like 6,000 hymns. And one of those hymns, and it's in our hymnal today, is one of my favorite, is called A Charge to Keep. And there's one verse in that hymn I'd like to read to you now, and it sort of tells you why we chose the title of this message. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill, oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. So, that's what the Wesleyan movement was about in 18th century England, and that's what John and Charles Wesley were about. And let me tell you what happened as a result of John and Charles Wesley and the early Methodist movement, which was not yet a denomination or a church, but was a renewal group within the Church of England. Let me tell you what happened when they decided that God had called them to serve that present age. And here's some of the things that happened. Now, John Wesley bought an abandoned cannon factory and turned it into a free medical dispensary to the poor. There was prison reform. John Wesley went into every single prison, and he tried to improve the service of food, the treatment of prisoners, the health care, and make sure that they had proper clothing. He sought land reform. He was responsible for child labor laws to be put into place. There were no places for the senior and the elderly. His own mother didn't have a home when she was in old age, and so he actually prepared a home that could be used for the elderly. John Wesley in 1774 wrote a very controversial treaty condemning slavery. He wrote letters of support to William Wilberforce, who introduced a bill in Parliament to outlaw slavery for 20 straight years until slavery was outlawed in 1809. Many people do not know that John Wesley was one of the great influences on William Wilberforce and John Newton, who was a former slave trader and converted and wrote the song Amazing Grace. One of the things that John Wesley did was he organized people into small groups. You know about those in terms of class societies and small groups to support people who had a need to grow spiritually. But because of the rampant increase of alcoholism, he actually developed what in their day and time were the prototype small groups for AA, in which people met together to overcome addiction. He did establish, and with the help of others in the Methodist Society, schools for the poor. He distributed books and pamphlets, encouraged education. And there are several historians that have written something to this effect, that the Wesleyan movement that so served England in that day and time kept England from experiencing the violent revolutions that took place in France. You've heard of the French Revolution. Their movement through those types of issues did not go quite as well, and England was in so many ways saved from that kind of destiny. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, what John Wesley did for the church, I mentioned the societies and small groups, helping people grow spiritually through spiritual formation. But John Wesley did some things he thought he would never do. Well, one of those was called field preaching. Now, George Whitefield was a very, very strong evangelist. He traveled the countryside and would preach to crowds of 20,000 and more. John Wesley, being a member of the Church of England, he was only permitted to preach within his parish. But he saw what God was seeking to do in his time, and he felt called to be a partner in the gospel with everybody who was involved in sharing the good news, and especially a partner with God. And so John Wesley, even though it was something he had to get used to, began field preaching, and he preached to crowds of upwards to 20,000 and more. He also did one other thing. He approved of lay preachers, which was not done in the church there in that day and time. He began to see the importance of raising up leadership among the laity, and so he did that. He did all of that to do two things: to renew the church and spread scriptural holiness throughout the land. And not only did they have a ministry to the poor, but they brought the poor into the church so that the majority of the church really comprised of the people that they ministered to, which meant that it wasn't just ministry to the poor, it became ministry with the poor. And so it was a time in which John Wesley felt called. And he, much like those early disciples, he immediately responded to the call. They called him out of his comfort zone to do some things that previously he never would have envisioned himself doing. Because, you know, things change. And the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. But the methods of getting that gospel out, the ways we communicate, all those things, they have to change. Now, you see, John Wesley, the main mode of transportation in his day was by horse or by walking. He did a lot of walking, but by horseback, he rode over 250,000 miles. That's about 10 times around the world by the equator. He did a lot of walking. Well, you know, we have a different mode of travel nowadays. John Wesley served the present age, and this is how he served the present age. He believed in holiness of heart and life, which means that we proclaim no personal gospel that fails to express itself in relevant social concerns. We proclaim no social gospel that does not include the personal transformation of sinners. So that's what John Wesley did in the early Wesleyan movement, serve the present age. And he served God in his generation. The work that God began in him, God completed. Well, now we move to the 21st century. Things have changed dramatically. What do we face in our world today? Well, we face a multitude of social issues right in our own community, as well as our nation, and certainly around the world. At Saddleback Church, they decided to take on the giants that we face in the world today, the problems, the major issues, and they came up with what's called the Peace Plan. And the P stands for plant churches. There's a great spiritual need in the world today for reconciliation with God and with neighbor, and so part of what they do is they respond to that void of spirituality, and so they plant churches. They recognize that one of the main problems in the world is that we have corrupt leaders. They do not serve their people. They exploit their people. And we need to equip leaders to be servant leaders, assist the poor, and care for the sick, and educate the next generation through their own ministries. They have ministry and mission to orphans in Zimbabwe to meet the AIDS crisis. They have orphan care that addresses the needs around the world, disaster relief. And they also help fight global human trafficking. They also help out with health care, addressing poverty issues, and also mental illness. But we here at the church, one day as a part of our staff meeting, we were having a day apart, we met away from the church. We actually met down at the Matthews house. And Reverend Frazier said, now we're going to take a lunch break, but here's what I want you to do on your lunch break. I want you to spend 45 minutes and just walk around and look at things around Cary, around downtown Cary. Walk as far as you can go one way and then walk as far as your way you can go the other way. Just take your time, but just walk around downtown and come back and tell us what you see. And then he said, you know, here's what we need to do. Cary and the community of Cary is drastically changing. That's one reason why we have detours, you know. there's a lot going on physically that we can see. But there are a lot of other changes, too, that have to do with population, social needs, the population changes, and so forth. And he says, you know, the challenge of our church is, are we going to change along with the town? The town is changing. Will the church change so it can serve the community? And this is kind of what we're doing now with this build to serve message. We're thinking about how when we begin to build new buildings, renovate the ones we have and expand, how can this all serve as a tool for our ministry and mission to the Cary area and beyond? Well, one of the ways that we can, of course, better do that is become a more welcoming place. One of the things that we did was we envisioned what will be the ministries and mission that we will missions that we will have, and are our buildings going to be designed in such a way to enable us to do those missions and ministries? Now, this past week, Heather Wong and myself and several laypersons went to another church where they have an adult care facility. That's more prevalent nowadays. It wasn't when I first came to Cary. There was only one place, Kirk of Kildare Presbyterian Church, that had an adult daycare center. But we're considering how, with the aging population around Cary and everything, how valuable it would be to be able to have perhaps an adult daycare here at our church. Now, whether we do or whether we don't, these are things that we're beginning to think of. And if we're going to do these things, our buildings need to be designed to be able to serve the missions and the ministries. Ministry is changing. I love the article that Carl Frazier wrote. He said, you know, in seminary, we were trained for ministry. And now we're living in a culture and in a time which we feel ill-equipped. And that's why continuing education is so important. Communication has changed drastically. The way we go about spiritual formation, we're doing missions so much differently now through missional communities, multiple campus facilities. There's diversity, languages, races, and religions. The needs of children, youth, and adults, and seniors. The way to do church has to change, and our buildings need to keep up with that as well. So, That's what's going on with building to serve. And so we come now to the recognition that God is calling you and God is calling me to serve the present age. And the early disciples felt a sense of urgency, importance to drop their nets and to serve. And they probably felt like, we don't know whether we're going to be able to do what we're called to do. But as you heard from the scripture in Philippians that Polly read, the work that God begins in us, He will complete. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it talks about how King David served his generation, serve God in his generation, and then he died. There's nothing better to be said about our church. There's nothing better to be said about each and every one of us than that we served God in our day and time, adapting to the needs of culture and society and being relevant. There's nothing better for us to be known for than being God's agent of change and transformation in our generation. I don't know the last chapter of my life. You don't know the last chapter in your life. But God can write that chapter when we let go of our nets and follow and seek to serve the present age. And I think the best years of our church's mission and ministry are just ahead of us. And so we come now to a time of invitation. God calls us to serve the present age. Serve the present age, first of all, means that we know how much the love of Christ means to us. If you would like to have prayer, Paul and I will pray with you that you might open yourself to the love of Christ. The reason we do anything at all is because we know how much we've been loved, how much we've been forgiven, how much we've been served. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And so the prayer is for you today, but the prayer is also for our church today to serve the present age. Let us stand.